Good morning. So good to be here with you. We're just excited to be here. And thank you, Robert, for having me here today. And you could feel there's something exciting in the air. Amen. And that's always a good thing. Robert, can you just move this speaker over, please? Thank you. He already read my mind. How can you not tell we're cousins here? Someone says we look like twins. I don't think so. I'm the better looking one. but other people call us the white version T.D. Jakes. So we go a long ways back. We both grew up in the city of Montreal where my father pastored. And for those of you that know Robert's testimony, he's had a dramatic supernatural encounter with God, and we would have never thought Robert would be in full-time ministry, let alone leading his own church today. And so just totally, totally proud of my cousin, and you ought to be proud of Robert and his wife, Lily. And I just believe that in such a time as this, God has appointed and chosen this leader for you. And I just feel that there is something new, something fresh that is coming your way. Oh, yeah, come on, somebody. And just believe in that and move in that in faith. And it's going to take courage and it's going to take sacrifice. And you know what? It's going to take you putting aside your preferences. Because we're not here because of our own preferences. The moment we prioritize our preferences is the moment we lose the mission. So that's the hardest part. That's the hardest part. When we want to, you know, we all want to move into the new, and we all want to change and go into the new season that God has for us, but when push comes to shove and we need to put aside our preferences, we have a very hard time doing that. And so from someone who's had experience in revitalizing a church and moving it into a new chapter, into rewriting the history, one of the biggest things we've learned is that we need to put aside our own personal preferences. We need to tune in with what God is saying to the house. And we need to make the changes we need to make. And it's going to take faith, it's going to take courage, and it's going to take sacrifice. But I think if we can do that, you'd be amazed of how God will build his church. Because then we empower him to build the church, and we take the responsibility off us. But later I'll just challenge you what our responsibility in it all is from our part. But before I do that, I just want to introduce you to my family. That's Liliana and Jeremy. The tallest one in the family is 19 years old. He's in his second year of college. Daniel, right in front, he's 16. He's our special needs boy, and we've got a whole testimony around that. Maybe I'll need to just come again and do that another time. And so we've been married. We just celebrated this past July 25 years of marriage. Yeah. I mean, looking at me, you might not think 25 years of marriage. Are you serious? But God has been good to us, and we have been in this role after 15 years of pastoring in British Columbia with Christian Life Assembly. God told us, I want you to take the biggest step of faith you've ever taken, and I want you to live on faith, and I want you to dedicate your life to global missions. And so we became the executive national directors for Next Level International and our Canadian office. And our job is basically mobilizing the Canadian church to European missional initiatives. And a lot of people say, why Europe? Well, Europe is 60 million people, and less than 3% are evangelical Christians. Over 19 nations out of the 48 nations in Europe are less than 1% evangelical Christians. And just a couple hundred years ago, 70% were of Christians that came to Canada and to North America, we're Europeans. Today, that has become a continent that is very, very post-Christian in many ways. Missiologists will tell us that has become the forgotten nation. It's a very hard ground. We've got a generation of millennials that are leaving the church, that are don't even have any basic knowledge of Jesus Christ, the death, the cross, the resurrection, what Easter means. You need to be there to see the decay emotionally, spiritually, morally in the continent. And we're not so far off as Canadians. In fact, I believe that if we want to really see how church needs to be birthed and rised up and developed in Canada, you need to do some work in the mission field in Europe, because we're not far off of having that same mentality. And so I think there's a special connection between Canada and Europe. And I think as we invest, as we sow into this continent, that I believe God still has his hand on, his finger on, and has a plan and a purpose. I think as Canada rises up to the occasion, becomes generous and gives and gets involved, I think he's going to bless the church in Canada. And so I really think there's a strategic partnership and relationship there. We are working actively in about 16 different nations in Europe. We predominantly work with leadership development. We train pastors, empower them, release them. We come alongside them to help them plant churches and support them on a three-year basis to launch new churches. And we've seen over 7,000 people go through our training track, and I've helped plant over 150 churches. And Robert's been involved with us in one of the nations in Serbia, and I'll talk a little bit about that in a moment. And now I am working in Italy, and we've gone right down to our roots. You know, 10 years ago, God says, I'm calling you back to your roots, and I didn't know what that was. And here I am now. We've opened up a brand new nation in Italy. We've never been able to work in Italy. Now we're working in Italy, a population of 60 million people, and you'll find about 800,000 evangelicals. That's it. There's over 8,900 cities and communities in Italy that do not have an evangelical church. And so in the last few years, we've been developing relationships with the nationals, and we've been training in our leadership conferences about 80 to 100 leaders. We've also helped plant 4 churches already in Italy, and God's just been doing that in the last few years. But we're going after the next generation. Our vision for Italy is a new church for a new generation for a new nation. Well, that sounds good, but it's going to take a lot of work. And so we've discovered that whole millennial age group, that from 20 to 35, there's nothing happening nationally with that age group. And so we're going to be launching in 2017 leadership development for emerging leaders, calling them out, helping them have an encounter with God, the Holy Spirit, then training and empowering them for long-term vision in releasing and empowering them into planting churches. And that's where we feel the new church is going to rise. Anyways, we're doing that all throughout Europe. And so I just want to thank you in advance for sowing into our ministry. At the end of the service today, you'll hear more stories as we go in the message and to get a better idea of what we're doing. But so glad to be here with you this morning and just see you and just sense God's presence together. I want you to stand with me this morning as I read the text and just prepare us for the message this morning. And I want to read to you this morning from Mark chapter 4, 26 to 29. And the message title this morning is Scattering Seed. Can you say that with me? Scattering Seed. And if we could go to the scriptures on the PowerPoint, that would be great. And we'll read that. He also said that this is what the kingdom of God is like, a man who scatters seed on the ground. Can we say that phrase? This is what the kingdom of God is like, a man who scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, and though he does not know how, all by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. And as soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come. The harvest has come. Say that with me boldly this morning. The harvest has come. Say it again. The harvest has come. How many are expecting a harvest? I believe God is wanting to give you a harvest. He wants to give this church a harvest of souls. He wants to give this church a harvest of finances. He wants to break loose the harvest this morning. Amen? So, Father, this morning we thank you. Today we thank you for your word. Your word is already anointed, Father, and we receive all that it has for us this morning. We ask you that you would speak to our hearts and speak to our minds this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, you're the greatest looking person I've seen in a long time. All right. All right. Everybody's good looking. All right. Turn to your other neighbor and say, you're not so bad looking yourself. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground. And this is really a simple and powerful principle in the gospel this morning, because the gospel, the message of Jesus Christ, is like seed. Every time the message goes forth, every time we spread the gospel, every time we share our story and our testimony, it is like seed that is being scattered. It is the message of Jesus Christ. It is a transformative and it is a miraculous force that when released, that when it is seeded, something powerful and dynamic happens. How many of you still believe that today? That this gospel is not dead, but it's still relevant. It's not old, but it's still relevant. It's not dead, but it's still alive. It still has the power. The truth is that the gospel in itself, the message, holy moly, the message, sorry. It's okay, we've got... See, that's why my cousin invites me here, because I cause all kinds of disasters. It's just water, brother. Okay. All right, let's get back into this. The truth is that the gospel in itself, the message of the cross of Jesus Christ, which we celebrated this morning, crucified, the testimonies of people like you and I in this room today have an inherent supernatural power that when it is scattered and when it is seeded, it actually has the capacity to bring about hope. It brings about hope. If there is fruit and if there is crop and if there is harvest, then right there is what we call hope. In fact, Romans chapter 1:16, Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes that the gospel of God. It is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. The gospel is the power of God, and that speaks of hope all over it. And when the seed of the gospel is released, the power of God gets released. That's why we always need to keep scattering. That's why we always need to be sharing, because we understand and we realize that the gospel really has the power. There's nothing like it. And therefore, when the gospel is released into a person, when the gospel is released into a community, when the gospel is released into an environment, into a city, or into a nation, it will have the capacity to break through and bear fruit through the miracle power of God. And that's what we call scattering seeds of hope and scattering seeds of the gospel. And so, this morning, it's a beautiful thing about all that of each of you in this room, because today you are the manifestation and the fruit of the seed of the gospel that once was scattered and planted in the soil of your heart. You remember that day when that seed was planted in the soil of your heart? That's what a seed of hope does. It brings transformation. And you know, Jesus uses this metaphor all throughout the gospel time and time again. And I want you to really come to grips this morning. I want us to really understand and apprehend the very heart of the Father, the very heart of God this morning when it comes to gospel being like seed, the seed of hope. And in Mark chapter 4, he describes it as a farmer in the old days where he would take a handful of seed and he would go outside and he would throw it into the wind. And that wind would come and it would scatter that seed around. And the seed would fall onto different types of soil. And the Bible says that it would fall on the stony soil and it would fall on the hard soil and the thorny soil. And then some of the seed would fall on good soil. And when it fell on that good soil, it's that soil that produces the 60 and the 30, the 60 and 100-fold harvest in return. It produces harvest. And so what is the heart of God? What is the heart of the Father this morning that He wants us to grasp as New Hope Christian Assembly in this part of the city of Edmonton? Well, Jesus tells us four awesome, amazing parables and stories in the book of Luke chapter 14. And we've heard them many times. But let me just recap some of those stories this morning. And it starts off in Luke 14 and he talks about the banquet, the great banquet. And Jesus paints this image of the master being God. And he sends out his servants inviting and he says, invite as many people as possible to the banquet. Invite as many people as possible to the party. How many of you like having a great party? And so Jesus loved throwing these great parties. And he says, I want you to go out there and I want you to invite as many people as you can. I want you to invite the poor. I want you to invite the outcast. I want you to invite the crippled. I want you to invite the blind and the lame. And I want you to invite the lost. And the servant goes out and he does as the master says. And he asked and he did all that. And he comes back and he tells the master, he says, Master, we invited as many people, but there's still room for the party. There's still room. How many know? No, there's still room for the party. There is still room for the banquet. And so Jesus says, go out. He says, go out and invite more and bring more. And he was saying that, he says, I want you to go out into the roads, into the country lanes, and compel them to come that my house will be full. I mean, you know that God's heart is that this house will be full. That it's not going to just be full one time, but it's going to be full two times on Sunday morning. And it's going to be full multiple times. And you're going to extend yourself to the north and to the east and to the south. God's vision is bigger than what you can have capacity humanly to think or imagine this morning. He exceeds our expectations all the time. God is above. He goes above and beyond all that we can think and imagine this morning. Come on, I'm feeling the white T.D. Jakes anointing coming on. See, Jesus continues to tell these stories. He says in 2 Peter 3:9, he gives us this picture of the heart. He says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness, but he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Jesus continues to tell more stories, and he goes on, and he talks about the lost sheep. A man with 100 sheep, and one goes missing, and he leaves the 99, and he goes to look for the one that is lost. And Jesus says in verse 7, I tell you the truth, there is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 who do not need repentance. The one. Who's the one in your world that God is sending you to? Who's the one in your family? Who's the one in your neighborhood? Who's the one in your workplace? Who's the one in your school? Robert was a one. That's the power that when we seed into the one, something transformative and dynamic takes place, and it brings about fruit and it brings about a harvest. The one is powerful. But so many times we get so consumed with the 99 who keeps saying, feed me, I want to grow up bigger, bigger, bigger. God says, I want you to go for the one.
I want you to go for the anemic. I want you to go for the one that is famished. I want you to go for the one that is in poverty. I want you to go for the one who's blind, but I want him to see. The one. And then he goes on and he talks about another story of the lost coin and the woman who had 10 precious coins. And one of them goes missing. Now, how many of you get frustrated when something precious of yours goes missing? Like your car keys or your cell phone and or something that you value so much. Well, this woman had these precious coins and one goes missing and she goes to the point of just putting her house upside down and she lights up the lamp, sweeps the whole house, moves things around, moves the furniture, searches carefully until she finds this lost coin. And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors and says, come and celebrate because the one that was lost is now found. And Jesus again says in the story, he says, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents and comes to faith. Again, he points his heart to the one. And then he goes on and he talks about the prodigal son. The two sons, and one asks to receive his inheritance early. And he receives his inheritance. And he goes out and he leaves the estate of the father, and he goes out and he squanders his wealth in useless things. He just spends it all, squanders it, wastes it away, and he finds himself working as a slave in a pig pen. And one day, in the midst of that smell, he comes to his senses, and he realizes he made the greatest mistake of his life. And he says, what have I done? How did I find myself in this condition, in this situation? And he comes to his senses. And he says, I must go back to my father. And he's going back to his father. And you know the story, the father is waiting from a distance, from the porch of his house, waiting to see, my son is going to return one day. Is this the day? Is this the day? Some of you have a son and a daughter who has wandered off, and you've been crying out to God, is this the day? Is this the day? I prophesy over to you that this is the day of salvation, says the Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. And this son, in the same way, is looking from a distance. Is this the day that my son is going to come back home? And from a distance he sees his son returning. This was the day, my friends. And he sees his son and he says, we're going to throw a big party again. Big party, a big celebration. And we're going to welcome our wayward son who has gone missing, who has left God's ways, and he's coming back. And he orders to put a ring of identity on his finger and the robe on him to cover him. And he places shoes on his feet to care for the wounds of his journey in his squandering and in his rebellion. And he calls for a celebration. And he orders the servants to kill the fattened calf. And while they were celebrating, the older brother, who represents the religious, who represents the right, self-righteous, gets upset with his father and says, why are you doing all this for this son? He just took your inheritance and he wasted it. He rebelled. He left us hung and dry. And now he's coming back. And why are you doing this? And he felt bitter. And he was in turmoil over this situation. And his father says, son, everything I have is yours. And if you pay close attention to the story, you realize that the older son never shows up to the party, never shows up to the celebration. And then you read in verse 32, it was right to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found. You see, friends, the heart of God today in 2016 is still for a lost humanity. It's still for broken and lost people all around us. It hasn't changed. It hasn't changed. And maybe we've become numb to that. And my prayer this morning is that we become sensitized once again to the heart of the Father for a lost generation and a broken world. In John 4, 35 to 36, the Bible says, you know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest? But I say, wake up and look. Look up around. The fields are already ripe for harvest. The harvesters are paid good wages, and the fruit they harvest is the people brought to eternal life.
And then I love the last statement. What joy awaits both the planter and the harvester alike? What joy awaits both the planter and the harvester alike? What's so amazing this morning is that this room is filled with planters and harvesters. I said this room is filled with planters and harvester. And that's where you're going to find complete joy. That's where you're going to find complete fulfillment. When you and I are living our life aligned on the mission and the purpose of God. And that's about when we're planting and when we're harvesting. What is the heart of God for people? It's like your heart for your kids. You can just imagine how many of you have kids this morning? And your heart for your kids. I'll remember this story. My other cousin from Montreal came to visit us in Vancouver, and him and his wife came to visit, and so we decided we would take them to, at that time there was the fair happening in our city, and I says, oh, well, why don't we go to the yearly fair since it's that time of the season? And so we brought him to the fair, and my wife and I and our oldest son, who now is 19, at that time was like 6 years old, Jeremy. And so we went to the fair where they have all the rides and the cotton candy and the deep fried Mars bars and all that food and the different exhibitions. And so we went there and enjoyed the day together. And at some point, my cousin and I says, hey, why don't we play one of these games and try and win Jeremy a stuffed animal? I'm like, yeah, good idea. So we get to this one station where, you know that game where you've got the gun and you squirt water in the mouth of the clown and this thing goes up, and if it rings the bell and you're the first one to ring the bell, you're going to get your prize. And so I said to my wife, hey, my cousin and I, David, we're going to play this game. And so they said, okay, we're going to go here and check out, I don't know, some little boutique thing and women's stuff. And so they went there, and she said, just keep an eye on Jeremy. I go, yeah, no problem. He's with us. And so we start playing this game. Jeremy's beside us, and we're playing this game and competing, and neither of us win. No stuffed animal, and we're all done the game. And my wife comes, and as she's approaching, I go, oh, we didn't win a stuffed animal. And she's like, oh, she goes, where's Jeremy? And I'm like, what do you mean, where's Jeremy? He was right beside me. And she's like, Jeremy's not beside you. And so you can imagine there's like hundreds of people, crowds everywhere, commotions going on. Jeremy's not in sight. She is starting to panic. I'm starting to panic. I mean, can you imagine? You lose your child, and as a parent, like total failure right there, failure. And like my heart is pounding. I'm like, oh no, what's happened? You know? And the worst nightmare my wife's always had is that someone's going to abduct one of our kids one day, you know? Always worried about that. And she's like, I can't believe it. And she starts crying. She says, I can't believe someone took Jeremy. Someone took Jeremy. I'm like, okay, you know, relax. We'll try it. So my cousin went that way. I went this way. And we're kind of frantically looking around. And so suddenly this woman approaches us and says, hey, he's like, are you looking for a child? And we're like, yeah, yeah. And he's right over there. And I guess someone saw Jeremy and put him on top of a picnic table. So he's like over the crowd. And so we saw him from a distance. Like, yeah, yeah, that's him. So we ran over there. And he jumps off the table. And we have this big family hug, crying. And all this commotion is happening. And we're celebrating that we found our son, Jeremy. Now, I say that story because never one moment when we figured out that Jeremy was missing did we say, well, you know, we'll look for him and, you know, see if we can find him. We'll take 15 minutes and look for our son, and if we find him, great. If not, hey, we've got another one at home. 50% isn't too bad. Like, we never once had that attitude or that approach. But when we realized that our son was missing, when we realized that our son was lost, we did everything in our power to find. We're going to recruit people. Hey, can you help us? He was wearing a green shirt, and he's, you know, this high, and come and help us. And you'll do everything in your power to find that son. And so I tell you this story because that's how God feels about every person breathing on a planet today. He says, I don't want anyone to perish, that none should be lost. That's the heart of God. That's everyone would find hope and life in Christ Jesus. That is his passion for the world. That is still God's passion for the city of Edmonton. That is still God's passion for this neighborhood. That is still God's passion for the school that you attend to. That is still God's passion for the workplace that God has planted you in.
sin. That is the passion of God this morning. That's why he sent his one and only son to die on the cross, his most precious prized possession. And he is willing to lose his son for the sake of your sons and your daughters and your family and your friends and your co-workers. That's why he did what he did. And that is the heart of God this morning. It is still the heart of God this morning. And that's why mission is what we do, because it reflects the heart of God for lost people and a broken humanity. Missions is not some sub-ministry or department of the church. It's what the church is. The church doesn't have a mission. The mission has a church. There's a difference. See, all through the New Testament, we see Jesus living his life on mission and with purpose. Jesus was constantly moving and going and reaching and touching. He reached out to the widows and the immoral women and that nobody else would talk to. He reached out and took time for the poor and the beggars, known as thieves, the tax collectors, the story of Zacchaeus. He made time. He pointed him out and he went to his house. And the conversion and the dramatic transformation in the life of Zacchaeus, because Jesus took time to go and have some tea in his house and his family and plant a seed, was completely transformative to the point that he went out and he gave back four times what he stole from the people. That's the power of planting seed. And so we see him do that. We see him, he reached out to the children and blessed them, the blind and the lepers, the untouchables of society. He reached out and talked to the rich and the highly educated and those of high status and influence in the city. He started conversations and talked to anyone he could talk to as he lived his life on mission. You see, friends, a passion to reach the lost and the hurting goes beyond reciting a sinner's prayer at an altar call and walking away. We must be the extension of Christ. And God's heart is that we would be open to serve the lost and the hurting with horizontal hands of hope and the vertical love of the cross. See, Jesus, there is no social status. There is no strategy of who is worthy of his time. It was any soul, any person, anywhere, anytime. The value of one soul before God is evidenced in how Jesus lived his life on mission. Because mission has everything to do with bringing hope to a hopeless world and a lost humanity. Shael Visser, who is the director of Alpha in the Workplace International and now is the executive director of Alpha in Canada, she sent out a report and she recently reported that in the city of Hong Kong, one of the wealthiest men in the city gave his life to Jesus in an executive suite during an altar call through the Alpha course this past year. Alpha in the workplace. You know, a lot of times we think everything has to happen here. It's not about going to church, it's about being the church. And so Alpha is going into the workplace and this wealthy man gets saved, and she goes on to say that more than 250 business people have now been through Alpha in the workplace in Vancouver, the city I come from, and around 750 in Canada and as many as 4,000 to 5,000 internationally. She says, every time I turn around, it's changing. 3 years ago, Alpha in the workplace was running in two countries. Today, it's running in 21. And that's just the beginning. She said, I was just in Spain where I talked to representatives from 28 European countries. Come on. And we are planning a pilot project for Finland, Poland, and Hungary. And I want to get them into Italy. Alpha taking some seed and scattering. Jason Ballard, who leads the youth film series for Alpha, and mobilizing Alpha in all of the schools and cafes among youth. Just powerful work that he's done. Just last year, between the months of September and December, Alpha in the schools and cafes reported that 5,250 high school and young adults gave their life to Christ in Canada alone in a span of 4 months. Come on, somebody. Alpha taking some seed and scattering. Some people say, oh, you know, like they're saying, they're thinking like these young people aren't interested, but yes, they are interested. They are interested. So So let me share you some stories of how we've been planting some seed and the power of seed, planting seed. In Serbia, in the city of Novi Sad, which is the second largest city after Belgrade, a city of, 400,000 people, and less than 1% are evangelicals. We partnered with a church of Nexus a few years ago. In fact, in Robert's previous church, Robert partnered with us on this project. And he came, and God used him powerfully. And we one of the extension ministries of this church that we partnered with is to reach out the Roma Gypsy people. We have a whole initiative for Roma Gypsies in all of Europe. Well, not too far off from the church, outside in the city skirts, there's a ghetto, a settlement of Gypsy Roma people of about 3,000 people. I mean, it's like walking into a third world country. He's been there. He's seen it. And, I mean, electricity is a luxury. Running water is a luxury. And this couple, Mirko and Slavica, come from the ghetto. He was an alcoholic, abused his wife. She was... She, a prostitute, attempted suicide many times. And to make a long story short, this couple came to a place of just rock bottom in their life. And through the Church of Nexus, they came to faith in Christ. And God did a powerful work of transformation. After years of restoration and healing and being equipped and discipled, we said, you know, we want to send you back to the ghetto, but not to be part of what you were, but to go in and to reach out to those people, because you're the best people you can that can reach those people. You've been there, done that. You know what it means to live in systemic poverty. You know what it means to live in abuse, domestic violence. We want to send you back, and we want you to do a work in that settlement. And so when we partnered with Robert's church, we partnered by doing this. We partnered by sending funds to start a feeding program. So every month, we would go and bring boxes of food for a family. They would choose a family, and they would go and bring a box of food to about 20 families a month. Out of that act of planting seed, doors opened, and people began asking questions. Why are you doing this for me? Why are you loving me like this with no strings attached? Like, why are you people coming into this ghetto and doing this for us? And so that gave the opportunity for Mirko and Slavica to open up and share their story and share their testimony. What is that? Like, when we share our testimony, it's like sharing the gospel. It's planting that seed, right? And so that kept happening. And people started getting saved. I want what you have. And to the point where they were water baptizing people in the tub at home. In a bathroom tub at home. How good is that? And that's what they've been doing. And out of that phenomena, we birthed a church. There's about 30 people in that Roma church, and now there's two small groups during the week that are going on. And right now it's a winter season, and we're trying to raise some funds for these Roma families to get some wood to heat up their homes. I want to show you this media clip as it comes up on the screen for us this morning. Indeed, by providing firewood to keep some of these homes warm and keep these families warm. And we pray that out of that, we'd see more mighty, powerful transformations of salvation take place. You could help us do that at the end of the service by giving to this cause. So, friends, that's the power of planting seed. The Bible also says that some plant seed and others water the seed. And what does it say? Jesus gives the increase. He gives the harvest, right? And so I want to appeal to you, church, on this concept that we need to uncomplicate this idea of evangelism, because I think we've made it very complicated. The bottom line is that the lost are going to be reached somehow. But I think many have given up on this idea of evangelism and reaching the lost. People, we think it's too hard, it's too time-consuming, it's fear of rejection. We've been rejected too many times. But I want to challenge you today that Jesus gives us the simplest concept to understand. A handful of seed that we scatter. And the sad part is that many in our churches in Canada have stopped scattering. None of us here are qualified to save anybody. How many of you know that? None of us here are qualified to save anybody. You know why? Because none of us have paid the price that Jesus paid on the cross. He's the only one that could save somebody. I don't know about you, but I grew up in a paradigm where I was questioned if I wasn't seeing anybody saved. Like, hey, aren't you a Christian? Some people actually believe that if you don't see anybody get saved in your lifetime, you're not a Christian. And there was this amount of pressure. I want to take the pressure off this morning because God hasn't called us or qualified any one of us here to save anybody. But I'll tell you what, we're all qualified to plant seed where there's no seed. And we're all qualified to water seed where there is seed. Everybody in the room today is qualified to plant seed and to water seed, right? But what have we done? We threw it all out. We're no longer planting. We're no longer watering because we think it's a hopeless situation. But I'm here to tell you this morning that God wants you to get your seed back in your hand and to start scattering. Start scattering. Because maybe that scattering of seed is you giving the time or the opportunity to listen to someone. It's as simple as that. You paying someone a coffee. You inviting someone over for a meal. Scattering seed. Scattering seed. I'd like the pianist to come back as I try to bring this to a close this morning. If you want to go to the last photo that I have, and I'll share this one story with you. On the PowerPoint. This is an area where we just recently planted a church, and it's called Via Napoli with Gianluca and Veronica. And 10 years ago, a woman from England felt a call to go to this city in Naples, just outside of Naples. It's a rough ghetto area, and start a kids' ministry. You could just start playing in the background. And start this kids ministry. You know, one of those metro ministries like Bill Wilson where they go with a truck and they pull out the stage and they do a show for the kids. So about 10 years ago, this woman felt called to go there. Didn't know a word of English, and she went and partnered with this church, Gianluca's and Veronica's home mother church, and trained them up to do this ministry. And for 10 years, they worked in this one ghetto called Via Napoli. And just reaching out, but no one got saved. In this past year, Gianluca and Veronica have been heading up the ministry in this ghetto place of Via Napoli. And this woman gets saved. Just gets saved. And she says, I want to open up my apartment for a midweek Bible study. Would you come and give us a Bible study? And so they opened up this Bible study. And another woman gets saved, and another, and another, and another, and 12 people now are saved in this apartment. The apartment becomes too small, so another woman who got saved says, hey, I have a cold room, a wine cellar in the basement of the building. Why don't we use that? And so you can imagine. So they're like, okay, let's use that. And so they went in there, and they're doing church in their fur coats, and winter it's cold, and that grew to 20 to 30 people. And then just a few months ago, they moved into this center that you see the picture that they're standing in front of outside. There's some pictures on the inside. And now it's 40, 50 people that are jammed into this storefront. And why do I tell you this story? Because I tell you this story because it was 10 years of scattering seed. And after 10 years, the harvest came. And that's the power of never giving up on scattering seed. And so, this morning, God puts it all together. You think
the gospel doesn't have supernatural, miraculous power to sprout and grow and do things that we can't even imagine. It can do, but it can. It just takes seed, and it takes you and I letting it go. If we can just be part of the process, when you invite your friends, your neighbors, your church, and outreach, and pray for them going through a crisis and show them kindness, you'll see the power. The city needs the seed of Jesus Christ. This neighborhood needs the seed of Jesus Christ. Amen? It needs the city. All over the world, it needs the seed of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, the fields are ripe. And I believe Jesus knows that what he's talking about. The fields are ripe. So be encouraged. Let's have faith that God is able to use us to scatter some seed. That he would use us to scatter some seed this morning. That you're not just called to live a safe life, but you're called to take some risks for the cause of the kingdom. You know, I think a lot of times we confuse the blessed life with the safe life. God hasn't called us to live a safe life, you know, have the house, the white picket fence, you know, my retirement fund all sorted out, my kids are getting their education or getting their degrees. That's all great, but God has called us beyond that. Our purpose is beyond all that. He's called us to be dangerous in the kingdom of darkness by bringing the kingdom of light. And we're going to do that by scattering some seed. And I'm wondering how many of you in this new season of your church are up for the challenge to get back to scattering some seed. Many are up for that challenge. This is how I want to end the service this morning. I'm going to pour some seed here. And as our brother continues to play in the background, I want you to come as a prophetic act this morning. I want you to come and I want you to grab some seed. I want you to just put it in your hand. I want you to go back to your seat. And I want you to pray, Lord, where are you calling me to plant this seed? Can we finish off the service today like that? And then I feel like Holy Spirit is just going to minister to us. Just take that. If you need to go, I understand, but if we could just stay put for a few more minutes before we leave. There's an important impartation this morning. I want to pray for you prophetically this morning before you go home. But wouldn't you stand up and would you just make your way to the front and just grab some seed as a symbol of your commitment to scattering some seed. Would you just come do that? Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus, as you go back to your seat, I just want you to be in a form, in a state of worship. This is a holy moment right now. God is about to impart spirit of planting and harvesting on your church this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Oh God. So many times we come and we listen to a message and we leave and we think about it for a few minutes and then it's out of our mind, out of sight. There's something God wants you to do with this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, come this morning.
Just stand up with me this morning. Jesus, 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 Jesus' name. Just ask the Holy Spirit, where are you calling me to plant this seed this week? Maybe it's that phone call you need to do. Maybe it's that visit you need to do. Maybe it's making things right with your neighbor, with your coworker, with your classmate. Maybe it's reaching out to that widow. Maybe it's reaching out to that single mom. Maybe it's just meeting someone completely strange to you this week. And God is going to move you to do something. Maybe as simple as buying a coffee or taking the time to listen to someone's pain. All that is planting seed, friends. Walk through the room slowly. God hasn't called you to live by your neighbor. He's called you to love your neighbor. Maybe you've just been living by your neighbor. You're going to start planting seed in a way that you're going to start loving that neighbor. There's seed to be planted all over this community, in this city. Do you see it? Do you see it? Just get a picture right now of the fields all around us right now in the mighty name of Jesus. I'm praying this morning for an anointing of planting and harvesting. Planting and harvesting. Would you raise your voices out to the Lord this morning? Come on, church. Just raise up your voice. Begin to pray for this community. Begin to pray for this city in the mighty name of Jesus. There's more to it than what we see here this morning, friends. There's more. There is more than what we see here this morning. There is more abundance. There's more harvest. There's a flow. There's a flow of harvest that God wants to give this church. Come on, let's proclaim it this morning. Let's declare it this morning. Let's declare it in a way with faith and boldness this morning. Not just halfway. Let's not be typical Canadians. Come on, there's a lot of color in our room. Let it out in the mighty name of Jesus. Let's declare this morning an anointing and a spirit of planting and seeding in Jesus' name. There are many, there are many, there are many, there are many in the waiting right now. Someone's waiting for you. You've got something to give to somebody. How are you going to invest this seed? How are you going to plant this seed? How are you going to sow this seed? Maybe it's a financial. Maybe you need to do something financially for your church, for a mission, for a need that you know of, that you're aware of. You need to plant that seed and let God bring the harvest in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the mighty name of Jesus. And God says, I want, he says in his word, he gave me this scripture this morning while we were worshiping in Isaiah 54, number 2. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, for you will spread out to the right of this city and to the left of this city in the name of Jesus. And the glory of God will be shown. The glory of God will be shown. How many of you believe that this morning? The glory of God will be shown. And God says, I want to place you. I've placed you in this position right now in the middle of this world. I am going to empower you with my spirit. I want you to go and possess that land. I want you to be the light in the midst of darkness. I want you to take risks. I want you to live a life of faith and hope and courage. I say to you, church, I want you to be a radical revolutionary for my kingdom. I don't want you to be small. Live your life small and safe. There is nothing safe about being a Christian, but there is everything about being dangerous in the kingdom of God. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And Jesus came off the cross and he defeated hell and he defeated death as we celebrated this morning. And the Bible says that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives on the inside of you. Lives on the inside of you this morning. Lives on the inside of you. And so he says, go into all the world. And in the same way, the power that is in that resurrected Jesus from the dead is in you to bring life and to bring hope all around you in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Would we give the Lord a praise offering this morning? Praise offering this morning. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Pastor Robert, would you come? In Jesus' mighty name.
This morning through God's word this morning. We encourage this morning, we challenge this morning to go out this week and spread the gospel. That seed, just pour out that seed wherever you go and allow God to do the work in Jesus' name. Thank you, Pastor Tom, for sharing this with us as you challenge us through the word of God to go out and spread the word and just to plant the seed wherever you go. You may be seated as we're going to receive another offering this morning. As we have said,